And the title of this message is Finish Your Race, Walk in the Light.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here is the Ministry Training Center Vice President of Student Affairs, Kathy Smith.
Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are with us, Lord, and you are here in our midst. And God, we just pray that you would have your way this morning as I bring your word, God, and that it would speak to those hearts, Lord, that are listening, God, and here and in on the internet, God, whichever way it goes out, Father, I pray that your word would go forth. And we know when your word goes forth, it accomplishes what it is sent to do, God. So we're asking that you would accomplish your purposes here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to start reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And this is talking about Jesus. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past filling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that ye may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is as in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shame it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now that was a big mouthful, wasn't it? Everybody got it all, right? There's a lot of good truth here that we want to see. And the title of this message is Finish Your Race, Walk in the Light. Now, at the very beginning of that passage, we see that Jesus is the one who gave us leaders to equip us for ministry. It does not say that Jesus gave us leaders to do all the things. Right? It says he gave us leaders, what? To equip you for the ministry. Because guess what? You are the ones that can reach those in this world. And so we want to know that God has done that. He has given leaders, those pastors, teachers, prophets, all those that he mentioned, the assignment for the perfecting of the saints, right? Does that mean you have to be perfect? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But that is the goal. We are to equip you and to perfect you. And what that means, if you look in that classical Greek sense, it has to do with mending or adjusting something that needs to be corrected or fixed. So when a leader comes to you and makes a suggestion or brings something to your attention, what should your response be? How dare you say that to me? Or I'll take that to the Lord in prayer, right? Because it is our job to say to you, listen, I see you walking in this direction, and maybe you shouldn't be walking that way. Maybe you need to come back over here. I see you going off in a different direction. Come on back, right? And that is the purpose, that we come and we say, walk this way. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should make a change. Ooh, we don't like that word. Right? And so that is our job then. So that fivefold ministry has the job of bringing the readjustments that are needed to the members of the body that will align us with God's purposes. Right? So when you come in, don't come in going, who do you think you are telling me how to live? Don't tell me you haven't thought it. Right? Who do you think you are? You don't know anything about what I'm going through. Right? You can't know. You've never had that happen to you. But it's still our job to help you walk through those things. Even if we can't know, we can bring the Word of God into that situation. Right? And we can encourage. But yet at the same time, God can use you because you do know. I've been through that. And you can go alongside people and help them through situations that maybe no one else could be able to help them with. I've been through things where someone has come alongside me and said, I've been there. I know what this is like. And helped me walk through that. But so we have to be, I'm going to say, please be teachable. Right? Ask the Lord for a teachable spirit, because you want to be teachable. So when someone is coming alongside you and trying to help you, that you're able to receive that. If you don't think you need any help, or you think you know it, you're not going to receive that teaching, right? And so that is the purpose of those in leadership, to equip you and to bring you alongside, to come along and say, you know, maybe let's not do that anymore, or maybe we can approach that with a different angle. Let's do it differently this time. You know, you keep hitting that same wall, let's do it different, right? And so we get that shepherding. That's where you get the shepherding from, is that those are the people that are going to come and go, oh, come on back in with the flock. Don't get out. Don't leave. Don't wander out on your own. Because what happens out there? You are an open target for the enemy because you don't have the protection of the flock and of the shepherd. And so we want to say, stay connected. And so many times when things are going wrong with people, they run off and stay to themselves. They pull away. They don't engage anymore because it's too painful, or I don't want anyone to know I'm struggling with this, or I don't want anyone to know anything about it. And so they go off on their own, and then they are devastated and they don't understand what happened. Well, you left your protection. And so we have to stay in our protection here and stay under those that the Lord has placed you under as leadership. And so sometimes we have to remember, we have to submit ourselves to those that have authority over us. And that goes against every grain in us most of the time, because we don't want to do that, do we? We don't want to let anybody else tell us what we should or shouldn't do. But the Word of God tells us to do that. And so that is their job. And so until we're made perfect, so we're to continue to do this. Pastors are to continue to stand in this pulpit and bring the Word of God, and to bring the Word of God into your life until you're made perfect. Has anybody got there yet? Because you might be like Enoch and just not be anymore. I've always told the Lord, I was like, I really want to be like Enoch, but then I didn't know how hard it was going to be. Right? So, you know, one day if I'm just not here, I've attained that goal. Pretty sure I'll still be here at the rapture. Right? But anyway, it's a goal. And so, but we continue to bring the Word and continue to feed you and to guide you and shepherd you so that you can become that perfect man. Now, we should constantly be changing and growing and maturing in the Lord. And so that's the goal. That's what we want to do. And so in verse 14, you get the why of doing these things. Why do we do these things? In verse 14, it tells us that henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. There's your why. Because guess what? The world is full of lies and deceit and cunning craftiness, and will cause you to be tugged back and forth and back and forth and cause you to be deceived. So we're to be giving you the Word. You're to be in the Word. And so when we do that, then we can be assured that we're not going to be tossed to and fro, back and forth. Let's look at why we want our faith to be unwavering. We need that. We need to be steady. We talked about being steadfast and firm and moving forward in our faith. But let's look at the book of James. In the book of James, chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we bring the word. We tell you the word. We feed you the word. But you've got to ingest it, right? We can't make people eat it and take it and internalize it. We can bring the word. We can speak the word. But you have to internalize what you are hearing and put it into practice. Because otherwise, guess what? You're going to be that unstable man being tossed to and fro. And then you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. That's what it says. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because that double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And then you want to go, well, God didn't help me. Let's rewind. Right? So we can't blame God for not answering us, not helping us, not being with us if we aren't with him. We have to be stable and unwavering in our faith. You can't wave back and forth and blame God for all your problems if you are not being in his word and internalizing what is being brought before you. For weeks now, we've been told to repent. Anybody been checking yourself for that? Right? Good. Because we should. We should be doing that daily evaluation. Lord, show me. Sometimes we don't want to ask the Lord to show us because it hurts a little bit. Because then we're like, I'm not like that. Well, yes, you are. Right? Yes, you are. As much as we want to think we've got it, there are still things down in there that will bubble up if we ask him to do it. Lord, show me. And he'll begin to gently show you where you need to make adjustments, where you need to begin to see where you've fallen short. If we go back to James chapter 4, verse 17, I'm going to read just a few verses here in the middle. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Whose responsibility is that? Each one of us has the responsibility to begin to take off that old man. We're not going to walk like we used to walk. We're not going to be the way we used to be. We're going to put in the work. Now, it doesn't mean that we can make our own righteousness, because that's never going to happen. Our righteousness is like filthy rags before God. But when we put on Jesus, it should make a difference in our life. There should be something different about us. And if you look at yourself and you say, well, nothing's different about me, we need to evaluate why. Why is nothing different? Why has nothing changed? Or if we've made change, and there's been change, and we get to a little level where we're all comfortable in our Christianity, then we need to ask ourselves, why am I stuck here? Why am I not making more change? Is there still something in me that needs to be adjusted? And so we need to begin to think about where these things begin. And if you look in verse 17, as he talks about how the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, guess what? It all starts with how you think. Everything that happens, everything that we do, everything we believe, starts with how you think. And sometimes, I'll give you this, you'll have come to Christ and you'll be following him, but yet you may be following him in some error because you didn't know. You don't be condemned by that, but once you do know, once that's been revealed and open to you through the Word of God or through preaching or some other way, when you know, then you are responsible to do something about it, to make a change. And listen, it may not always be a comfortable change. It may be very difficult to make a change in your life. You may not really care for the change that is being called for. It may feel real foreign to you. But yet we have to make a choice. Because at this point we have a choice. We can continue to live and be the same way we've always been and say, well, this is how I've always been, and determined to just be that way forever. Or we can say, I understand that this is not how I should be. And then I'm going to make a change. Or I'm going to say, Lord, help me make a change. Because sometimes without the Holy Spirit of God, I would be in some serious trouble. You guys can check yourself, but I know if the Spirit of God wasn't checking me, sometimes I can get ugly. I'm not proud of that, but sometimes I do. And then I have to backtrack and go apologize and, you know, take accountability for being rotten. So it's not, I mean, I'm not standing up here being the holier than thou saying, I've got it all together, be like me. Pastor Jerry always says, follow me as I follow Christ, but I'm still on the fence about saying that out loud too much. Yeah, he's got it a little more together than me sometimes. But listen, we're all in this together. That's why we have to stay in the body of Christ, stay connected to your church family. Stay connected to one another. Because sometimes you need someone to come along and go, I see you're struggling there. Let me get a hold of you and hold you up a little bit. Right? Because we keep trying and we keep falling down. But guess what? When you got someone holding you up, it's a little easier. Right? Or someone coming along. Listen, you need friends that will come to you and say, what in the world are you doing? Right? These people are your friends. It's not the ones that are patting you on the back and going, yeah, you have every right to feel that way. Run from them. Right? Run from those people. Because they're not your friend. Right? You need friends that will tell you the truth in love. Now, I'm not saying get your bullhorn or do whatever or yell and point your finger and condemn, because that's not our job. Satan does enough of that, right? We need to encourage one another and help one another along, right? Because we need that transformation. Let's look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the Apostle Paul, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When he says, I beseech you, he's pleading with you. This is what I'm pleading with you to do. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, acceptable to him. And it's your reasonable service. So don't be patting yourself on the back thinking like, wow, I'm doing good, right? This is your reasonable service, that you give yourself to God, a living sacrifice. See, our spiritual transformation begins in the mind. We said that. And what happens? We have to exchange the way that we used to think for a new way of thinking based upon the Word of God. And that has to be our guide. Right? So if I want to lie to somebody, Word of God tells me not to lie anymore, right? But to speak the truth in love. So if for 40 years I've been a liar, it might take me a minute to stop lying, right? Because that's just your natural habit, right? Because you've just gotten to the habit of lying. But you have to work at it. And you have to say, I'm not going to be a liar anymore. I'm not going to do that. And that's where we change. And like I said, nobody likes to change. How many of you are like have things just the way they're supposed to be and you don't want any change to happen? You can, oh, we got a lot. Right? One of my daughters is like that. She's not a very good change person. She wants everything to just be how it is. But sometimes change is necessary. And guess what? Change can actually be a good thing for you. You're fighting something that is going to be so much better for you. When we were going through the Titanic, Kate, of course, Katie was laughing at me because I had, you know, whined about having to go there and I didn't want to, and then saw how much I enjoyed it. And she went, see, Mom, just think of all the things that you never want to do. If you would just do it, you might find out it's a good thing. Right? And I was like, ow. But guess what? Let's apply it here. What if that change was a good thing? And we're fighting it. We don't want to change. But guess what? When you actually give into that and submit to that, you find out it's a good thing. It's a good thing that happens to us. And so what kind of things are we supposed to take off? It's the scriptures here have given us that we are to take off the old man and put on the new. That's your responsibility. Because only you know the depth of your ugliness. I can't look into your heart. Only God can do that. I mean, I don't know what your deep, dark troubles or struggles are, but you do. I know mine. And so only you can decide when you're going to make a change. And so we're told to put off lying. Number one, don't lie. Speak the truth. We're not to let the sun go down on our wrath. Doesn't say don't be angry. It just says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do we take care of things immediately? Or do we like to stew about it a little bit? And roll it over in our heads. And get angrier and angrier. And then we want to blow up. But see, if we would take care of it right away, we wouldn't have those anger issues. Because we would address them correctly. Like God tells us to. If you got problems with someone, go talk to them. Don't tell your friend about it. Don't, you know, talk about how much it hurt so bad and how terrible they were to you. Go talk to that person. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, I can't guarantee what kind of response you'll get because, you know, people sometimes will be very gracious And sometimes people will just be ugly again. But you've done what you're supposed to do. So we're to take care of our issues immediately. Don't let them linger, because guess what happens when you do that? Then you get bitterness and all that other ugly stuff rooted deep down in you. And it's hard to take bitterness out, because it gets a grip on you. Right? Next one. Don't give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? Anybody got any answers? I'm going to let you answer me. I get to be the boss today, so you can speak out loud if you want. Anybody want? How do we give place to the devil?
When you hang around bad people, bad company, trust good morals.
Okay.
Give place to the devil just by associating with that crowd.
Okay. Anybody else got another one?
How about when we begin to stop thinking on the things that are lovely and pure and of good report, we begin thinking how our own minds want to think.
Okay. We're giving place to the devil when we do that. Boy, he's going, oh, look, they're complaining. Let me stick my foot in the door. Right? And he wiggles in and he stirs it up. Right? He said, when you start hanging, when you keep hanging around with those same old people that have joined you in some of those bad habits, it corrupts good morals. I used to hate it when my mom would say that to me as a kid. I was like all about going against the grain on that one, because she would say that to me and I would say, well, I don't have to do what they do. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. And it used to drive me crazy when she would say that to me. But guess what? It's true. The Word of God says it. And so we have to make a change there. Guess what? It may not be easy to stop being friends with some people or putting a little distance there because they are affecting you in a bad way. It's okay to have your boundaries. You have to have your boundaries, because people will break in and try to just drag you under. And so it's okay to do that. It's okay to say, hey, this person doesn't really benefit me, so I'm not going to hang around that anymore, right? Because I know when my girls were teenagers, they all had friends. And just about each one of them had a friend that brought out some qualities that were not so good in my children. And I would say, you know, when you hang around that person, you're not very nice. They're not benefiting you. You know, and of course they did the same thing that I did to my mom and rolled their eyes and thought I was crazy. But eventually they began to learn that that was true. You know, and I always, I had to learn that when they started making those separations, like with certain friends that they'd grown up with all through school. And I would be like, how come you're not going there? How come you're not doing that? Why weren't you invited to come over? I learned to stop asking those questions, because my children knew things that I didn't know, right? They knew what was going to be going on if they were invited there, or if they went to a certain place. Not to say that they were angels, because they weren't. But I learned to trust that they knew more than I did, especially if they were withdrawing themselves out of something. And so we sometimes have to make those decisions, even as adults. We need to evaluate who you're hanging out with. What are you doing that's causing the devil to get a foothold? What are you watching on TV? What are you listening on the radio? You know, are those songs uplifting and encouraging? Or are they depressing? Because some of the songs today are just, you listen to it and you're like, ooh, right? It just makes you feel weighed down. So we don't want to give place to the devil. So only you can know where you're doing that, right? Only you can know where you're doing that. So look for those places. Look for those people that maybe need to be gone, right? And it's okay. It's okay. Don't steal, but work to give to those in need. So if you've been a thief most of your life, if you've stolen things, listen, and we all have, so don't step back and go, I've never done that. Right? Did you take somebody's pen by accident? Did you pick it up? You know? Did you take some extra paper from work, maybe? See, all those little things count too, right? Did you take something that wasn't yours? So, don't steal, but you're to work. Listen, I think we need to apply that in our government today. Work so that you can give to those in need, in true need, right? And that's, I mean, I love that Laura gives us opportunities all the time to give to those in need. You can't outgive God. So, listen, if you don't think you have anything to give, you give what you can. And you give what He puts on your heart. And sometimes He'll put it on your heart, and it'll be more than you think you got. Right? But I promise you, it will never cause you to be lacking. If you will do that in faith and trust and give, He will give it back. You may not get money, but there'll be other blessings that will come. So stop stealing and work and give to those in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ow. Listen, my mouth was my biggest enemy. Sometimes it still is. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes my mouth can still get me in trouble. But we got to put that Holy Spirit filter on so that even though it might roll up on the tongue, we don't spit it out. Right? And so we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us with that, right? Because, boy, it can come out like that so fast. And then you're like, oh, I want to reel that back in, but it's already out there. Right? And so we need the Holy Spirit to really be in control of what's coming in and out of our mouth. Right? And then the scriptures tell us that we're to speak things that are edifying and that ministers grace to others. There's your filter. Is what I'm about to say going to edify and uplift somebody? Is it going to minister grace to them? If not, zip it. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that's easy. There have been times I've like chewed my tongue right off trying to keep it in. Right? You know, sometimes you just need to walk away. Take a minute. So, you know, that's something I think we struggle with on the daily. We need to ask the Spirit of God to help us filter our speech. Filter our speech. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, another class session. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit? Somebody got away? How? Somebody want to say something? Oh, we don't listen when He speaks to us. We don't obey Him. We know we've heard what He said to us. And we'd be like, I don't know who that was. Right? What? I was just making that up in my head, right? No. Like Lisa said this morning, if you get those little checks, pay attention. Pay attention. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, arguing, and evil speaking. That clamoring is just arguing. Some of us make that our profession, to argue, right? You've met them. I might have been one of them. I hope I'm still not that way. Somebody come tell me later. Anyway, you don't have to always argue and fight, even if you're right. You can just let it go. right? Ow, right? We don't want that anger to turn into bitterness and wrath. It's an ugly progression. And sometimes it gets so deep down in us, we think it's gone, and then something will happen, and whoop, there's your trigger. Up it comes. So many times I've felt like, Lord, I've dealt with that issue, that's gone. Guess what? There's a trigger. Boom. Whoa, where'd that come from? And we want to make sure that we are like dealing with that and getting rid of it. Sometimes we have to say, Holy Spirit of God, you got to rip that out. I can't live like that. I don't want to be like that anymore. Take that out of me. I promise you, if you say that to him, he will do it. He will help you in those areas where you are just going, I give up. I can't. I don't even know how to be any different. But help me. And he will do that for you. Instead of all that, we're supposed to be kind. Oh, remember Pastor Aaron's sermon. Are you being kind? Tender-hearted. And are you forgiving one another? Listen, if you just do those three things, it'll keep you busy for the rest of your life. Right? Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Because people are out there that want to offend you every day. But you get to choose whether you're going to let them. Right? On over into Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us not to be partakers with them that do all these things. I'm not sure how much clearer the Word of God can be than saying, don't be partakers with people who do these things. Again, that's where you have to go, I don't see any fruit of the Spirit coming out of that person. I'm sorry, I have to make a distance. You're going to have to put a space. Right? That doesn't mean we don't love people and we don't encourage them to do better and to come to the Lord and to make change. I'm not saying let's go be mean to the world, because that's not going to accomplish our purpose, because we're supposed to be what? The light of the world, right? But we have to be careful who we are hanging out with. Be careful. Again, some relationships may have to change or be severed. Right? We are to walk as children of light. We are to walk as children of light. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. But guess what? He needs you to be a light too. He needs you to be the light in that darkness. That's why I love light. I don't know what it does for me, but it just dispels darkness. Like if you've ever been in a really dark room and you just turn on a little light, a little glow, and it just will light up a room. And so that's what we need to think of ourselves. Begin to think of yourselves as a light. How brightly are you shining? Jesus is that light. And he says, if you follow him, you're not going to walk in the darkness. Again, it's a choice you get to make. And only you know what darkness you're still walking in. Psalm 119:105. We sing a song about this, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Guess what? This is what we guide our life by. It's the light that shows us the way. The Word of God is the light. So we have Jesus. We have the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I only gave Rick 4 through 6, but I'm going to start in verse 3. Sorry. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What are we? A light to the world. We're to share the gospel with the world. But if we hide it, we're hiding that light from the world. We have the answer. We have the answer. It's Jesus. And if you're not telling people that, you're hiding that from them. And we need to share that at every opportunity that we get. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Did you get it? The God of this world, Satan, he's blinded their minds. Lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, he's working hard to keep them blinded and in the darkness. Your light's got to shine brightly. And you have to share that light with the world so that they can be saved. See, because the enemy's fighting you on that. He's battling hard. He doesn't want them to see. He wants to keep them blinded and in the darkness. And we have to shine our light. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, you are a light. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the light that the world needs. And we need to share it. Just like I said at Dollywood, over and over and over and over again, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ being shared. And she wasn't preachy. I mean, you don't have to be preachy to people. You just got to live your life before them and give glory to God for it. Because all she did was make comments over and over and over and about Jesus as the Lord and Savior and how he loves you and how he knows your heart. I mean, just little bits of the gospel over and over and over. That's what we're supposed to do. No one's asking you to stand up and preach a sermon and everybody will stand around and listen because we know that's not going to happen, right? But when you live your life before people, they see Jesus if you will let them. We have to live before people and share the gospel of Jesus. And lastly, I want to go to Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. And it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Again, live your life for Jesus. Don't hide it. And people will see your good works and glorify God because they will know that you are a Christian. They will know you are Christians, what? By your love. Are you shining your light for him? This is how we storm the gates of heaven. Last time I was here, I said, you know, we can storm the gates of hell, right? We can storm the gates of hell. And hell can't prevail against that. But we have to shine our light. We have to be the light that exposes. Light exposes things, right? That's why some people don't want to be around you, because you're exposing their darkness. It's not you. It's the light within you that offends them, right? But we have to dispel the darkness. That's how we win. That's how we win. That's how our nation can change. That's how we can make effect in what's happening in our nation and in the world around us, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we just want to thank you for this word this morning, God. Lord, I ask right now, Father, that you would just begin to work in the hearts here today, God. Lord, we've heard your word. Lord, we are accountable now to make a change. So if there's any of that old man still left in us, God, I'm asking right now, Father, that you would just reveal that to us, that you would show us the things that we need to make change for. And God, that we would be obedient and do it. And so, God, I lift that before you this morning. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.